Take your Bible to Colossians chapter 4 tonight. I understand my granddaughter Carson is feeling bad tonight, so might add her to the prayer list. Pray for her. All right. Colossians chapter 4. We'll look here beginning in verse 2. Colossians 4 verse 2. The Apostle Paul, once again writing under the inspiration of God, says to the church at Colossae, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." We're nearing the end of this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and At the end of the letter, he talks about several things, but here, first thing we're going to find, he turns to the matter of prayer, all right? And now, it's not because it was an afterthought, okay? And it's not because prayer, you know, he saved it to last because it's of little importance. It's not that at all, nothing to do with that. And I'm convinced that maybe if he were to ask me, why do you think he saved it to that? I'd tell you, I think he did till just so he didn't want them to forget to pray, all right? You know, sometimes you save things towards the end. You figure they may forget that stuff at the beginning, but maybe the part at the end they'll remember, and he saved it to that to keep it fresh maybe in their minds, and it's always a good thing to pray. It's important. And there were some definite issues that he wanted them to pray about, all right? Definite issues he wanted them to pray about, just as there's definite matters that we're to hold up to God in prayer in the same way. You know, we talk about it on Wednesday night especially. We remind you to pray. We remind you to add people to the prayer list, and every so often we print a new prayer list up. And that the whole purpose of it is just so it'll keep it fresh. You can take it with you, you keep it in your hand, maybe stick it in your Bible or whatever, but it'll give you that refresher and reminder to pray, and here's some needs, here's some things that need to be prayed for. And because number one, we all know the power of prayer. We all know the power of prayer. You just think about it. We can take some instances from the Old Testament. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. He prayed again and it came a cloud burst, all right? Why? Because of the power of prayer. Hezekiah, Isaiah came to Hezekiah and looked him in the eye and said, you get your house in order, you're going to die and not live. And the Bible tells us that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed, and God healed him and he gave him 15 more years of life. Okay? Why? Because there's power in prayer. All right? And there's power in prayer. We get in the New Testament, there's numerous instances too. The thief on the cross prayed, and he was that afternoon, he was with the Lord in paradise. Why? Because he prayed. Because he prayed. Prayer opened the gates of the prison for Peter. Peter's in the prison, in the innermost prison, and folks were meeting at a house, and they were praying. God opened it up and let him out. All right? Why? Hey, there's power in prayer. And those are just a few of numerous examples in the Bible. And I'm hoping all of you got something coming to mind now where you think, yeah, I remember when somebody prayed, and boy, it made a difference. It made a difference. There is definitely power in prayer. But we also know this, and I think this is what we come to here in chapter 4 and verse 2. There's the need of persevering prayer. Notice what he said there. First of all, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. The fact that Paul says here that we're to continue in prayer indicates that prayer has been going on, and it needs to keep going on. All right? Keep going on. When you were a kid, you would come maybe and ask your parents for something, and if they said no, you didn't let it drop. Now, if you were wise and you had parents like mine, you didn't nag about it, okay? But you'd try to figure out some way to come around the corner and come at it from a different direction and ask the same thing in a different way because you were hoping to change the answer, right? They're hoping to change the answer. Well, listen, we persevere in prayer. We keep praying, all right, because we want God to do something for us, all right? That matter of persevering in prayer has to do with being faithful in prayer. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. We've been praying for some things. We've got people on our prayer list. We've been praying for months and months and months. We've been praying for over a year for Hannah Lee. Well, I'm not in favor of quitting praying. Keep praying. Keep praying, all right? Just keep on praying. Jacob over in the book of Genesis in chapter 32, the Bible talks about him wrestling with the angel of the Lord, all right? And he wrestled with that angel, and he said in verse 26, he said, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Hey, what was he? Well, he was persevering, all right? He wasn't quitting. He wasn't giving up. He wasn't throwing in the towel. He said, we're going to keep this match going, all right? We're going to keep this wrestling match going until you bless me. Well, that ought to be our attitude when we come and pray. That ought to be our attitude. We ought to keep praying until God either definitely lets us know, no, quit praying, or until we get what we need. But keep praying. Keep praying. Be faithful in doing, all right? Be faithful. The Bible said we have not because we ask not. We ask not. Or maybe sometimes we have not because we quit asking. We give up. We say, well, not going to happen, I guess. I'll just quit. That means you didn't really want it. You didn't really want it from God. You keep coming. You keep coming. Praying is not a one and done kind of thing, all right? Take your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. Now, we're going to come back to Colossians, so don't lose your place there. But look, if you will, in Luke chapter 18 to illustrate what we're talking about here in chapter 18 and verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. That means we could be faithful in praying. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet this woman driving me, okay, that's not what it says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Lest by her continual coming, he said, I might as well go ahead and give her what she wants because she's going to keep coming. She's going to keep coming. He knew she was determined. She was determined. Can I say this to you? I believe the Lord honors that kind of praying. I believe we just keep coming to God, all right? Just keep coming to Him. Keep on praying. Be faithful to do it. Be faithful to do it. Then there's another word in the Bible that talks about prayer. It says we're to be fervent in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer. You said, what is fervent prayer? It's that prayer where you know, hey, you really want something. You mean business, and you're coming, and you're asking. It's not just sort of an ask, hey, would you mind? No. It's fervently praying. I mean, it's getting down to business. It's rolling up your sleeves and praying. I say it this way. It's begging God. It's begging God. That's fervent prayer. It's begging God to do something, either on your behalf or on somebody else's behalf, all right? You're begging God, fervent praying. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. That's the kind of praying we ought to do. We ought to continue in prayer. How? Fervently. Fervently. Just come at it that way. That word continue also carries with it the idea, I believe, of frequent. 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 Not just once in a while, not hit or miss, not occasional, but frequently, we're to take our needs to the throne of grace. Who was it? The psalmist David, I think, said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He said, I'm going to do it three times a day, three times. He said, well, what's the proper number? I don't know that there's a proper number, but there's nothing wrong with keep on praying, all right? Keep on praying. Just be it frequently, you know. Come at it fervently, faithfully. Just keep asking God. That's continuing in prayer. Just keep coming with it. The way you would if you wanted something from somebody and you meant business about it. You keep coming. You keep coming. You keep asking. You keep asking. You just do that. Why? That's continuing in prayer. Continuing in prayer. But notice what that verse says, all right? In verse 2 again. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Hey, there ought to be some precaution in prayer. Watch in the same. He said, what in the world do you mean by that? We need to be careful. We need to be careful that our prayer life doesn't become a mechanical habit. It's just we do it, but there's no heart, there's no compassion in it. Just going through the motions. If we're not careful, that's the way a lot of things get in our Christian life. Get in our Christian life. We can come to church that way. Well, it's Wednesday, we're going to church. Why? Because it's Wednesday. No, I'm going to church because I want to hear from God. I want to have the opportunity to fellowship with other believers. I just want to be in that atmosphere, all right? Just want to be present. I want to see what's going to happen, see what God's going to do. But if we're not careful, we get that attitude. We're just going through the motions. I've done it so many times. You know, it's one thing a preacher has to be careful of. If a preacher's not careful, he says, well, I've done this thousands of times. No big deal. I can do it again. I can preach again. Well, I don't want to get that way, all right? I don't want to get to be commonplace to stand in this place because if we're not careful, those kind of things just become a simple ritual. And you might as well pray your prayer that way, just a ritual prayer. You know, when I was a kid, I learned to pray, now I lay me down to sleep, you know. I pray, you know, the Lord, and that was my prayer, okay? And as a kid, I thought you had to start my prayer that way. After I got that part out of the way, I could branch off and say, Lord, would you bless so-and-so? But I always thought you just had to say, now lay me down to sleep, which was bad when I was praying over the meal. Now lay me down. I never did that, but... you know, just think about it. If we're not careful, it becomes a ritual. Becomes a ritual. Have you ever done that kind of thing? Ever done that kind of thing? I know I've done it before, and I'm trying to remember the exact circumstances of it. You know, I don't know if I was praying for the meal when I wasn't fixing to eat, or if I, you know, but it was just a ritual. I wasn't thinking about what I was doing. Hey, the Bible says to us, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Let's be careful. Let's be careful in our prayer life that it doesn't just become something, hey, I've got to do it. We talk about reading the Bible. I got to do it. No, it ought not to be that way. It ought not to be come across that way, and it shouldn't be something in our life that just becomes another thing, another religious thing that we do. All right? No, it ought to be serious business. When we pray, you got to remember, man, we're touching heaven. So Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. You be careful. You be careful. But notice the next thing he says in that same verse. Two words. With thanksgiving. Hey, you know, I believe there ought to be praise in prayer. There ought to be praise in prayer. You ever heard Dr. Barber, who pastored for years down at Worth Baptist Church, and he preached for us back on when we were celebrating my brother's 50th anniversary. I had him come and preach for us, and he taught my brother in college and didn't do any good, but he tried. But he taught my brother in Bible college and known Dr. Barber for years and years. If you ever hear Dr. Barber pray, everything he prays, and the last thing he says, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Always. Always. Hey, that's a good thing. It's a good way to do it. You said, do you have to do it that way? No. But it's a good thing to do. Hey, there ought to be that time in prayer. Giving thanks in our prayer is giving praise to the one who supplies us with every good and perfect gift. Just supplies us with that. When we pray, we ought to be careful that it's always with a thankful spirit and with an attitude of praise to the one that's already blessed us so many times, all right? And once again, if we're not careful, it's easy to just come with more requests. It's me again, Lord. I've got a longer list today than I had yesterday. All right, and it's easy to come with just more requests, not thanking Him for the things He's already answered. Already answered prayer. Boy, it's a good thing to just stop, all right? But we want more blessing. But we ought to take care to give Him credit for the blessings we're already enjoying, you know? Hey, thank you, Lord, for what we're enjoying. Thank you, Lord. I mentioned to you, not to belabor it, but just to give you an example of that, I've asked you again, pray for Brother Kelly, pray for Brother Charles. I believe in that prayer we'll say, dear God, thank you for what you've done for them and how far you've brought them. But Lord, would you just bring them the rest of the way, all right? But to give Him that praise and giving that thanks, Lord, learn to do that. You said, I don't have anything to thank Him for. You've got to be kidding. You have got to be kidding. You've got a lot to thank Him for. You got a lot to thank Him for. Brother Minyard says, if you can take both hands and do this, you can thank God for it. Because He's got one, don't work too good, you know. God working, that's working better because He keeps working it. Hey, but just think about all the things that you have to thank Him for. If you've got a halfway clear mind, okay, and you can think. Somebody say, well, I can't think anymore. Well, you can, but maybe you can't think as good as you used to. But you can think, all right? You're able to do some thinking about some things. Hey, you know, we've got so much to thank the Lord for. Man, just so much to praise Him for. Why, He's already blessed us. And so many of those things, we didn't even have to ask Him. He did it. He did it. And He keeps on blessing. He keeps on blessing. Hey, there ought to be praise in prayer. There ought to be praise in prayer. But then I want you to see that prayer should be pointed. And maybe this should be pointed with a purpose. Notice what he said in verse 2. He says, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Now, with all praying also for us. Paul said, I want you to pray for us. Specifically, I want you to pray for me. We come and we take prayer requests. Why? Well, one thing is scriptural. Scriptural to take prayer requests. There's nothing wrong. Say, well, I hate to just keep asking people. Well, look, if you need prayer, you ask for prayer, okay? You come to God and you ask Him to do it. It's right to do. Look, take your Bible, James chapter 5. Quoted some of this verse just a while ago, but I left out some of the first part of it. James chapter 5. Well, I've already got too far the wrong way. It's not before Hebrews, it's after Hebrews. All right, James chapter 5. Y'all ought to be there by now. Verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall... Oh, that's verse 15. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. And notice, pray one for another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. Hey, it's scriptural to ask for prayer. It's scriptural for us to pray one for another, that you may be healed. You say, well, what if you're not sick? Well, pray that you don't get sick, all right? Hey, Lord, would you heal them from getting it, all right, you know? Just pray. It's biblical to do it, all right? Paul was, he had a plea. He said, I want you to pray for me. Now, wait a minute. His plea was not that just he would have some personal pleasure. Man, it wasn't, I just want to have a good time on vacation. Now, the truth of the matter is, Colossians, I believe, was written while Paul was in jail. All right, so it's one of those prison epistles. So what is he wanting? What is he wanting? Well, he's wanting God to do something. And he says, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Not just for his health. Look, I believe you ought to pray to have good health. And I want to pray for you that you'll have good health. But I want to pray for you that you'd have good health so you would take that good health and serve the one that saved you. Not just so you'd have good health and you can go to the beach and live it up, all right? But I want you to take that good health. I want you to serve the one that saved you. I don't want to pray for you that way. Now, Paul said, I want some prayer for me, but he said, here's what I want you to pray for, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. He said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to preach and pray that I'd be able to preach. He said, you just pray that I might have that opportunity. God would open the door, all right? Open the door that I could preach. The mystery of Christ. Now, he is a mystery. He is a mystery to many people in this world. They don't know him. And in many cases, what they know of him is just totally wrong. Totally wrong. So, man, Paul's saying, I want you to pray that God will give me that open door. Open door. I've asked people to pray numerous times that God would give me an opening to be able to witness to a particular individual. Because sometimes you need God to open that door, because the witnessing goes better than if you just try to kick the door in. And so you ask God for it. That's what Paul wanted prayer, that he might make the gospel manifest. That's what he says in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He said, I want to make it plain. Make it plain. Plain and simple. Here it is. Look, I don't believe the gospel is confusing. I don't believe it's difficult. And Paul said, I want you to pray that I get that opportunity to get out there and preach that gospel and open the door, that I'll be able to do it. Now, he had already paid the price for his preaching. You see there what it says in the end of verse 3, for which I'm also in bonds. Why? Well, he had been speaking that mystery of Christ. And because he was in jail. He knew what it was to go that. He knew what it was to suffer. And I'll be honest with you, folks, if you preach, and you don't have to stand behind a pulpit if it's one-on-one witnessing, but if you're faithful to do that, somewhere down the line, you'll pay a price. But the price will be worth it. The price will be worth it. Paul wasn't saying, you know, hey, I'm in prison, just pray I get out of prison. No, he said, you just pray I get the opportunity to preach. You just pray that door gets opened up. And I have the opportunity that I can give the gospel, and I can preach, and I can talk to people, speak the mystery of Christ. He said, why did he put it that way? It's no mystery. A mystery in the Bible is just something that wasn't known in earlier times, and now it is, okay? It's not something that's spooky, and we gather around and vote on what we think the mystery is, all right? It's not that at all. It's just something that was beforehand. It was unknown. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was unknown before the day of Christ, all right? They didn't know that. You and I have the benefit of that gospel. And Paul says, I want you to pray that I can do it. Hey, appointed, a very pointed prayer for a purpose, okay? Our praying ought to be like that. There's too much generalized praying. Sometimes I think my preaching occasionally is just generalized. It's like they were talking to President Calvin Coolidge. This was told on him, and he was noted of being a man of few words. And so he went to church, and somebody asked him, he said, what did the preacher preach on? He said, sin. They said, well, okay, well, what did he say about it? He's against it. And, sometimes, if we're not careful, we preach in a generalized way. We don't point out sin. But sometimes our praying is generalized. Oh, would you just bless everybody that needs blessing? Bless everybody that needs a blessing. Whip everybody that needs a whipping, I guess, you know. Well, it's better to pray appointed, specific prayers. And if need be, you carry a list. You know, and I'm going to pray about these things. I'm going to pray about specific things. I try to pray that specifically. Lord, would you do this? Brother Marion, Lord, would you restore his balance? Would you get rid of that dizziness? Would you do that for him? Lord, would you help that back surgery to be totally successful, Brother Kelp, for Brother Charles, and that he'd no longer have that back pain, and he'd be able to resume his normal activities and you know, just not have the pain and the trouble anymore. Specific things. Hey, listen, you and I, if there's one thing we ought to determine in our life and our heart, is we're going to continue in prayer. We're going to continue in prayer. And we're talking about prayer that's fervent, that's frequent, stays after, faithfully praying. Somebody asks us and we faithfully pray for that individual, not just in generalities, but ask for specific help on behalf of specific people, okay, on behalf of them. Sometimes that's why I like to get the name of the person we're praying for. I'd rather do that than, Lord, would you bless Fred's boss's cousin's nephew that's in the hospital. Now, I know God knows who Fred's boss's cousin's nephew is, okay? But, man, it's good to have a name, you know? Good to have a name. Good to be able to pray specific prayers. And we ought to be those kind of people. We're going to continue in prayer. We're just going to keep doing it, all right? We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. Hey, we're going to be careful. It's not going to just become a habit. It's not going to just become something we do for the sake of something to do, not a ritual, not, well, it's praying time, so we'll pray. No, it ought to be something that we're fervently, passionately asking God to do some things. Hey, listen, I want you to pray for this guy. I need your prayer. Need your prayer. I'll talk to Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas hasn't been able to come to church now in a couple years or so. He tells me, preacher, I pray for you every day. Every day. I said, man, I need it. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, you want people to pray for you? Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another. Paul said, continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes tonight? Hey, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Not here to make you feel bad about it, but how is your prayer life tonight? What's it like? It's not becoming stale, is it? Don't let it do that. Don't let it do that. Make it be fresh. Come to God every opportunity. Make it a frequent activity. Not a rare thing, but a frequent activity. We come to God and bring your petitions. Pray one for another. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help us.